Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of For the Love of Cinema. My name is Grayson Maxwell, and joining me...
Hello, everyone. It's the one and only Nick Morris.
Nick Morris. Hi, my friend. How are you?
You know what? I'm swell. I'm swell, Grayson. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm also swell. Thanks for asking. That's a word that... I don't think people use that word enough these days, to be honest, but...
It's a shame. It really is.
I agree. It's a mark of a time long past, but we have an interesting show, Nick. I don't know if you know this, but... we do. We have some Greg Kinnear talk coming up where we talk about the young and suave Nathan Drake a little bit. We get some Tom Holland discussion, and we talk about briefly a horror legend. I'm really excited about that one. Yeah. So without further ado, let us jump into the box office. Now, boy oh boy, this week is interesting. This week, number one, Hitman's Bodyguard. Samuel Jackson pulls it off again, making tons of money. Budget of $29 million. It's made just $21 million domestically, but it hasn't been released everywhere yet. I'm assuming when this movie gets released everywhere, it's going to do a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
Have you seen it yet? What are your initial thoughts?
I haven't seen it yet, and I was thinking about getting to see it yesterday, but I was too tired and too out of it to get to see it. But,
What are you seeing? Obviously, you've seen the trailer at least a few times. Yeah. What are your predictions going in?
Obviously, I think it's gonna do really well. Obviously, it has already. I think it's the duo of Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson. You know, personally, I think they'll mesh well together, and they're gonna kill it.
I sure hope so. Because it hasn't done strong numbers yet, but I'm assuming when it gets wider released, it'll do better and better and better. I'm hoping, anyway. We have, so that's your number one spot for this week. Annabelle Creation, this week number two, last week number one, fell one spot. Now, $15 million budget has so far, do you want to take a gander at how much it's brought in, Nick? Now, keep in mind, it's a $15 million budget.
I'm going to say somewhere between... maybe around $60 million.
Nick, you are $100 million short.
What?
$160 million. This $15 million movie has brought in.
Oh God.
I need to serve myself a slice of humble pie because my predictions over the past weeks past have been that this movie was not going to do very well. I was very wrong. I couldn't have seen that one coming. That's why it's a prediction, but.
Yeah, I guess people just want to be scared all year round, not just during Halloween.
Well, a good horror is hard to come by these days. We don't get them often. Any movie that comes out of the Conjuring universe, though, is usually pretty good. James Wan is his universe. The Conjuring is pretty good. Those are pretty solid, pretty scary movies all the way around.
Very true. Very true.
And a point that I'll bring up now, and I guess we'll go on and expand discussion later, is it's not... it's not just a sequel to a horror movie. It's a sequel. It is a sequel to a horror movie, but it excels in so many different ways, and that's what I'm really excited to talk about today. But
yeah, I agree with that.
Number three, Logan Lucky, headed up the cast: Daniel Craig and Channing Tatum. $29 million budget, $8 million domestic. Not great. We only have a domestic though, so perhaps it'll. I'm hoping it does better when it's wider released. Not good numbers for that movie. I'm sure that Daniel Craig and Channing Tatum got way more than $8 million combined to do this. So
most definitely.
I mean, C. Tate is eye candy for sure. I love me some Channing Tatum.
I was when I heard about this movie and I saw the trailer, I thought, I mean, it looks all right and it has a pretty good cast. I wasn't excited to go see it, and I haven't seen it yet. I might. I don't know.
You should, Nick. I don't know. I mean, I find that watching a movie in theater is never a waste. And I mean, if I guess you've seen something 20 times, it becomes to be, you know, maybe not a waste, but less of a good way to spend money than it was. But I mean, it's you're getting awesome picture, awesome sound, if nothing else, even if the movie does not resonate with you at all. You get an hour and a half of, you know, eye candy to look at. So that can't ever be bad, right?
Yeah, true.
Number four, Dunkirk. Dunkirk, the Titan, Christopher Nolan, still holding on in the top five. Number four this week was number two last week. It fell two spots. $100 million budget. It's brought in $392 million. That's quite a return. I'm sure Warner Brothers is extremely happy with that.
Oh, yeah.
I can't see them being anything but happy about that return. So
still an awesome movie. You know it.
No, really. I've said it a million times before, and I said it again. I love Christopher Nolan. I get very excited when I see something of his on the docket. He's a very solid filmmaker. I mean, very, very solid. Maybe even one of the greats? Time will tell.
Time will tell, indeed.
We got the number five. You're never going to guess this one. The Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature. Top five. Only brought in $17 million. It's only got a domestic listing, but it's only brought in $17 million. Well, actually, on the back half of 17, so 17.7. That's a $40 million budget. Obviously not numbers you want to see put up. I don't know why it's not doing better. I would think that with, you know, parents wrangling kids going back to school, you'd think they'd want to, I don't know, you think they'd want to hit up a movie one of the, you know, on the weekend. I think Nut Job would be the obvious choice for kids, but.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And plus, it looks like a little bit of a summer movie, you know, end of summer. Like you said, kids are going back to school. Why not take the kids out to the movies, go see this?
Well, I mean, it's got a fun cast. Will Arnett, Katherine Heigl, Maya Rudolph, Gabriel Iglesias, Bobby Cannavale, Peter Stormare, and Jackie Chan. I mean, that's a fun cast, you know? I mean, there's nothing wrong about that cast. It's just, oh, well. I mean, there's got to be a reason. Maybe it's just, I mean, August is historically a month that is not good for box office for movies. Although Annabelle is making tons of money, so that's an example to the contrary. The Emoji Movie, number six this week, number six last week, didn't change at all. $50 million budget, $125 million. It's, people, I guess, like it. It's making money. That's one I did not watch. But people are enjoying it, apparently. So, good for that movie.
Yeah. I see enough emojis on my phone.
That's right. Everyone sends emojis. We live in an emoji world these days, for sure. Spider-Man Homecoming, number seven. It's still in the top ten. It's still hanging on. $724 million worldwide. $175 million budget. That's not bad. That's Tom Holland. He's Spider-Man. He's doing a great job. That's a very solid movie. I really enjoyed that one. I still think Spider-Man 2 is better than 2004, but that's a whole different discussion. I like to think of them as, when you think of a superhero, this is after seeing the newest Thor Ragnarok trailer, which kind of looks lighthearted and silly. Although the struggles in Thor and the second Thor movie were not lighthearted and silly, but
you still have to
look at these Marvel movies for what they are. They are superhero movies adapted from comic books. I mean, you have to, for as high ranking as a lot of people give these, I mean, they're still adapted from a comic book. So I think, that's a much bigger discussion for another time, but.
Yeah, you're not wrong, and I see where you're diving into, but like you said, that's a deep hole.
There's no shallow end in that pool. It's all deep. I mean, that's a huge discussion. A lot of people, I don't mean to offend anyone when I say that. I really do not mean to offend anybody. That was not the intent there, but it's, you know, there's no way for us to identify with these heroes. Even someone like Tom Holland, who, it's hard for us to identify with him because we can't do what he can do. So, Girls Trip, number eight, The Dark Tower, number nine, and Wind River, bad release for that one, number ten.
Are you surprised at Wind River?
Actually, it's been out for, not for 3 weeks. Yes and no. I'm surprised it's doing. The yes is I'm surprised it's not higher on the list. No, because I didn't see this movie marketed well. I don't know. But it's got a strong cast. Jeremy Renner. Elizabeth Olsen. Elizabeth Olsen is one of the people in the Avengers. Her and her brother were the twins. So, I mean, I don't know, and Peter Berg is one of the producers, so I don't know why it's not doing better. It only has domestic listings, so perhaps it's just not released everywhere, but I have a hard time believing that if it were, it would make tons more money.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not interesting, because the trailer, I feel like it pulls you in.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I'm a little surprised with it. I didn't know it was out for 3 weeks, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I want people to watch everything. I do. I want people to watch everything and like everything. Although whether it deserves people's adoration, that's the story. That's always the question. Making a movie for making a movie's sake is, if there's a story to tell, there's a story to tell. If there's no story to tell, that's why we have, yeah. I don't understand why we keep getting all these Fast and Furious movies and any movie that has all of these Saw movies. Speaking of we have a Jigsaw on the horizon coming out. I just don't understand why, if there's no story to tell, and there cannot possibly be more story to tell with these franchises. You know what I mean? Like, they've covered it.
Yeah, exactly. And I totally agree with you. And another thing for me is, I get tired of people remaking movies. You know, and I mean, there's a 50-50 fight there, because, you know, some people do want to see a reinstallment of the movie, and other people don't. But I mean, I just feel like, is it a waste or?
Well, it depends. I like it when a movie is approached from when they're remaking a movie and the filmmaker or the director comes at it from a different point of view. I mean, when you're making it needs to be reimagined, re-envisioning. There, I mean, the Gus Van Sant, I think it was Gus Van Sant that made the Psycho movie. He literally remade it shot for shot. It did not do well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to measure up to the original Psycho.
Very true.
When you remake a movie, especially, I mean, it doesn't, classic or not, you really have to understand where the original went. You have to understand why the original went, why it was taken that way, and then you have to figure out a creative way to do something different or make it fun and inventive again, if that makes any sense. I mean, that's always what I thought. I mean, it's just, for the past couple months, I've heard of some remakes of stuff, some pretty big movies, and I can't imagine, take something like Casablanca and like remaking that, like 100% a complete overhaul. You know, I don't know if that would do well.
Yeah,
that would be.
No, that's a tough one. That's a toughie right there. I mean,
you're not wrong.
It's a classic. People love it.
You're not wrong in that respect, and it's something, you know, Casablanca, even Citizen Kane. I mean, how do you even approach that?
Yeah.
Do you want to be the person, you know, do you want to be the director, man or woman, who screws that up? Do you want to be person?
I'd be scared shitless.
Yeah, well, that's...
I would not want to do that, you know?
Integrity has to count for something, and I don't understand is people that remake movies or do very high-profile sequels of wonderful movies, and they suck, and they're not held accountable. Now, I mean, if you're listening, you might be thinking, well, I mean, what are you going to do, throw them in movie jail? Yes, don't let them make another movie. I mean, and yes, productions also get away from people and, you know, the mass public. I mean, even people who read about the movie news all the time may not even hear about what may have happened on the set, or, you know, creativity was completely taken out of the director's hand. I mean, there's all kinds of the different politics that play into movies. So,
yeah.
Well, Wind River, I wish you were doing better, but you are not. out this past week, this past Friday, was Hitman's Bodyguard, the 25th, coming up this week. Polaroid and All Saints, September 1st, the re-release of Close Encounters of a Third Kind. September 8th, It, the much-anticipated It. You're talking about remakes. There's a remake there. I'm sure it'll be.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure It will do. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. Just from the trailer. Epic.
Coming off the back of people, you know, are loving Annabelle Creation. Obviously, it's making tons of money, so maybe that'll go right into It, and people will watch. You know, I hope the momentum stays. You have It, yeah. Home Again on September 8th, September 15th, Mother, All I See Is You, and American Assassin. September 22nd. This September 22nd is a big, big week. I don't understand why it's such a big week. I mean, October is the next month, but usually September is also pretty tame. But we have Battle of the Sexes, looks to be a good comedy, Kingsman, The Golden Circle, Stronger, and Lego Ninjago. That looks like... Come on, admit it, Nick. You're excited. We're all excited for the Lego movie. We're all excited.
Hey, man. I've been building Legos my whole life.
We all have. We all have been building. Look, toys have come and go off of Toys R Us's shelf, but Legos have been there since the beginning. So,
yep.
Prediction for this, I really don't have any predictions. Annabelle kind of threw me off my prediction wheel, but I do think September 22nd will be a pretty big week. That'll make, I mean, Lego, I think, will clean up pretty well, but Kingsman will do okay. Stronger will do okay. Battle of the Sexes, obviously, it's a comedy. It'll do all right. I'm sure on the raunchy side, it'll be fine. I think It is the next big one as far as box office goes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Time will tell. You never know what people are going to be in the mood for. So.
True.
And I have some sad news. Jerry Lewis passed away.
Yeah. I heard that today.
Yeah. Comedy icon and legend. Credits starting as early as 1949 all the way to 2016. That is, you know, it's a 60-some year, that's a 60-some year successful run. That's...
Yeah.
A lot of actors don't have nearly half of that length in them. So,
truly an amazing career.
Well, he's a funny guy. It's he had a lot of. I'm just gonna name some of the ones that some of the more popular ones with me: the Bellboy, the Nutty Professor, the Ladies' Man, the Geisha Boy, Partners, and the Family Jewels. Those are the ones I've seen, and I really appreciate those. Dude, I know as many movies as he's done, I'm sure that everyone has their own list for movies they love of Jerry Lewis. If they knew who Jerry Lewis was, it's, you know, were you familiar, or have you ever seen one of his?
No.
That's all right.
Nope.
That's all right. He was a funny guy. He was, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame.
I've seen a little bit of his stand up. You know.
What do you think of that?
Here and there.
Compare it to today's stand-up.
I mean, come on now.
I kind of know people that.
You got people that are unoriginal nowadays, stealing other people's jokes.
Yeah, sorry, Dane Cook. You know, I used to think Dane Cook was hilarious, but...
I did too, man. I thought Dane Cook was awesome, and then, well...
Not so much.
You do.
That's right. What
sometimes
do
you get... Sometimes you get kicked out of school for plagiarizing. No big deal, right?
Yeah, but again, I mean, accountability is a big thing.
Yeah.
There's another Shaft movie reportedly in the works. Son of Shaft is the working title. Samuel L. Jackson, nothing is confirmed as of, like, hard confirmed yet, but looking like he may be in it again in the iconic role of John Shaft II, John Shaft II, along with the original John Shaft, Richard Roundtree, who will also be in it. Tim Story is attached to direct. As of right now, I mean, that could change. You know, I don't see Samuel or Richard Roundtree dropping out, but I mean, if one of them's going to drop out, Tim Story is the one likely to drop out, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you excited about Shaft movie, I think it's in capable hands. Tim Story, Barbershop, Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, Ride Along and Ride Along 2. I don't think the Fantastic Four movies were great. The original, not the one that just came out a few years ago, but the earlier ones with Ian Gruffudd and
Chris Evans.
Those were okay. They weren't terrible. They weren't great. They were just kind of bleh, kind of in the middle. But
yeah, very true.
So I'm sure Shaft is in very capable hands if Tim Story is indeed the director. There is. For those of you unfamiliar about the Uncharted franchise, it is absolutely one of Sony PlayStation's flagship franchises, centered around a treasure hunter, Nathan Drake. And they just this past year saw the release of the fourth one, and it to incredible box office. Well, incredible, I call it box office, but incredible earning and critical success. It all of them are always story wise. Fantastic. So it looks like we're finally...
I fell in love with those games.
Oh, you played them. Good.
Yeah, dude. I fucking love those games.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
definitely my favorite PlayStation games I've ever played.
Obviously. Yeah, no.
Maybe hold on. Red Dead Redemption was pretty awesome.
I was gonna say there are some other ones that might be in the running, but as a franchise, on Uncharted is damn good.
Oh yeah. The stories of them all are just
the story, the dialogue flow, the characters. Oh my goodness, it just delivers every single time. It's every time you know what you're getting. It's like going to a Nolan movie. You know what you're getting, and it's incredibly high production values every time. Like they never skimp.
Yep.
The Uncharted movie will be an origin story with Spider-Man Homecoming's Tom Holland as a young Nathan Drake. Right now, attached to direct is a Sean Levy. Again, nothing is like hardcore confirmed. Right now attached is Sean Levy. This movie's gone through a number of directors, also a number of actors. I know at one point Mark Wahlberg was slated to be Nathan Drake, and obviously that has come and gone. And I'm actually kind of glad. I didn't see him as Drake.
Yeah, if they're doing an origin story, I hope not.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So we're past that. Okay, great. So according to the article I read, Tom Holland will age into the role over time. So don't expect these all to come out within, you know, if one comes out in 2020, don't expect, you know, four of them by 2026. We might get two in that time span. I hope. I want them to just take their damn time with these and just make them right. Video game movies have a tendency to suck, and I just don't want that stigma anywhere around Uncharted, because Uncharted is fantastic. So
yeah, I totally agree with you there. I mean,
I wonder who
you look at some of the video game adaptation of video games. What, Prince of Persia? That one kind of went downhill.
Yeah, I mean, Mario Brothers is infamously terrible. I mean, infamously terrible. I know that Bob Hoskins and who was Luigi Leguizamo. Yeah, they both have publicly said a number of times that they regret doing that movie. That is a god awful movie. But I mean, it's not. Yeah. Those are two different, very different timelines. Because I mean, Prince of Persia came out in, I think, 2009 or 2010-ish. And Mario Brothers was a long time ago, early 90s, something.
Oh, yeah.
Early to mid-90s. I mean, arguably, I don't think... Now, it's easy to say Hollywood doesn't understand video games. Well, it's easy to say that, but, I mean, they are adapting from a source material. And as far as Mario Brothers is concerned, it's not very deep source material. I mean, you have an Italian plumber who's saving a princess from a dinosaur in a castle. So
yeah, exactly.
Liberties have to be taken. That's how it is. But I really hope that we can start to really say, okay, I mean, there was a time in superhero movies where, like, there was an obvious crest when, like, okay, now they understand how to make superhero movies. Now we're getting good ones. You know, Spider-Man, X-Men, you know, in the early 2000s, we really started to get great ones. So hopefully this is the time for that. I can't really think of I've always thought that Silent Hill was a pretty good, pretty faithful adaption. Now, the first hour, as far as the source material is concerned, again, the source material only is fantastic. And by fantastic, I mean awesome. The second hour, not so much. It really kind of undoes what the first hour did as far as following.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, again, liberties have to be taken. So
I enjoyed the Silent Hill film.
The sequel was an absolute travesty.
I don't think I've seen the sequel.
You are better off. I mean, I want to look for reasons to watch movies. I always look for reasons to watch. But you are better off. Just save those 2 hours and do something else. You know, go out and watch paint dry or something.
I know some people listening will probably disagree with me on this. I like the Resident Evil adaptions.
I strongly disagree with you on that one. Well, I mean,
yeah.
Because I mean, you know, they have become, you know, Call of Duty-ish. They have become a lot of gunfire, a lot of fighting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what people want. As far, I guess that's what that studio's data was telling them is we got to make it more fast-paced. Because, you know, Resident Evil by nature, as far as the games are concerned, when that one came out, was not fast-paced. It was slow, yeah. Slow-moving, tank controls, you know, so...
Very true.
Long scenes to open doors. You know, it was, you know, it built suspense well, but those movies just didn't. I mean, the first one, I guess there was an argument I've heard you could kind of say was okay, and then they just really lost it after that, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I'm glad you're liking it, because you're probably the only one.
The only one.
Well, no, I don't want to say the only one. The only one that enjoyed the games and, like, loved the story of the games and the characters, I cannot see them. I just cannot see them liking the films. I just can't.
Yeah.
But that's, again, I don't know. Liberties have to be taken. And, go on.
If there was a video game that you wanted to be a movie, what would it be?
Well, naturally, I've been wanting to see The Last of Us for a long time.
Ooh, okay.
Now, having experienced Uncharted, for sure you played Last of Us.
No.
You have not played Last of Us? Oh my goodness, no.
I've watched people play it, and I've never sat down.
Oh, well, as long as you have experience with how good it is, like how good the dialogue is, how wonderful the story is, the chemistry between Joel and Ellie, a very angry, very pissed off middle-aged man and a very young girl who has no idea the evil of the world out to get her, and Joel does.
Yeah.
It's really, I mean, it's a crowning achievement as far as storytelling and gaming is concerned. That's what I've always thought anyway. But what about you? Is there one on your mind?
I've always wanted to see a Metal Gear film.
Oh my god! Get in line, Nick. Get in line.
Yeah, that or Sleeping Dogs.
Ooh, that's an interesting choice, Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah.
Well, Metal Gear, I can get behind you on that one. As a matter of fact, I'm really kind of hoping that they don't, only because there's no way they can fit everything they need to.
Yeah, exactly. And it won't be half as good.
No,
the video games. I mean,
there's been a few attempts. I know the game creator Hideo Kojima has been involved a few times. Other times he's not. I don't know. Even a year ago there was talk of one, you know, happening, but we'll see. And nothing is official, been obviously, but I'm really excited. I would be excited to see it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it would not be what I wanted. But
yeah, exactly.
And again, nothing is confirmed for this, but this is pretty big news. An Obi-Wan Kenobi Star Wars spin-off movie. I think after the Han Solo, after the Han Solo one, everyone may have been expecting this. But it's...
Yeah.
Obi-Wan's an interesting character. Not the Alec Guinness Obi-Wan is an interesting character. Not so much the Ewan McGregor. That's...
Well, I mean, you got that time gap where you're just wondering, like, what the fuck has Obi-Wan Kenobi been doing?
Well, that's, you know? Yeah. There's a lot of, I mean, they can pick and choose where in Obi-Wan's life they want to tell the story. I think the obvious place to do it would be between 3 and 4. But
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm glad they didn't try to weave him in other ones. I mean, where he wasn't. I think the obvious place is between 3 and 4. I mean, that's the obvious choice. Just because the obvious choice doesn't make it the right choice. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure they will pick a time when they can, you know, because the problem is now we have all these movies with him, with his knowledge being dispersed to Luke, and we have the prequels, and if he never mentions anything about the timeline we're going to follow, then it kind of just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to, you know, hope does not happen, but... That's pretty big news, though. Alec, as a tribute, Alec... I always thought Alec Guinness was the best part of Episode 4. I thought... For a long time, I thought that was one of the few reasons that movie was as successful as it was. Alec Guinness was awesome as Obi-Wan. Very convincing as Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm. Very wise.
I always wonder... yes, wise.
A wise Obi-Wan.
Yeah. I always wondered how they got him to sign on to that. Given what the movie was and given... I always wondered how they got someone of his caliber to be like, you know what, I'll do it. George, I'm in.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how. But also, the international poster for Jigsaw has been released. It looks genuinely creepy. It looks like it's the Jigsaw doll, not all the way in focus or anything. It's behind something, or the lighting could be purposely making it hard to see, but it looks genuinely creepy. Have you seen it, Nick?
I have not seen it yet.
I'm a big fan of giving this franchise time to start over. Because I think it needs it. After the first Saw was, I thought the first Saw was brilliant.
Yeah, definitely was.
It quickly goes downhill after that. Like, by downhill, I mean almost a 90% drop off. I mean a 90 angle drop off.
It just gets to the point where it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean it's. I think that point when. Now, okay, so the first Saw came out in 2004. 13-year spoiler. I'm sorry if you haven't seen it. when you finally learn who the killer is, like that is like one of those holy crap moments. Oh my goodness. You know, it's like this whole time he was, you know, how can you, like, I'm sure you thought that too, right?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, that was one of those.
I mean, he was laying there the whole time.
Yeah, that's one of those moments where you're like, oh my goodness, that is brilliant. And then it kind of goes downhill after that. But I'm happy that they're maybe looking into a reinventation. I've seen the trailer. The trailer looks like it could be kind of, you know, kind of not starting over, but starting a new beginning, which I'm fine with.
So I can agree with that.
Those are some news. Oh, I didn't even see this one. Daniel Craig has confirmed that he will be Bond for one more movie, his fifth and final. So he's done, help me out here, he's done Casino Royale, Quantum, Skyfall. What's the most recent one? I cannot remember this.
I feel like it starts with a P, but I'm not sure.
I don't know. Well, this is his fifth and final one. So that's I need to know this one. Oh, Spectre.
Oh yeah, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how I wasn't getting that, Spectre. So very excited. Even if it's his final one, that's fine as long as they take care to write his character out of it. And I know he's playing Bond, the character that never leaves, but.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's possible to write Daniel Craig out of the character. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So.
And I agree with that, but, I mean, same thing with everyone. You know, you can't be Bond forever.
Well, you can, and I...
Well, Bond is forever.
He is forever. He doesn't die ever, but... So, no directors attached. There's a short list, but no one confirmed, so I don't want to say anything about that. But, I'm excited for it. That's all I gotta say that I'm excited for. Trailer watch... Same kind of different as me. I know we covered this once before. The trailer gave me a warm and fuzzy feeling when I saw it again, so I want to bring it up. Jimon Hansu, I apologize if I mispronounced that. Greg Kinnear, Renee Zellweger, and John Voight. Nick, what do you think about this trailer?
I gotta agree with you there, where it kind of made me warm and fuzzy inside. Just because of the content that it is. I mean, the girl... Renee Zellweger, you know, she has a little bit of deja vu in the trailer. It just kind of warmed me up inside. I'll agree with you on that.
Well, it looked like there was some magical things going on. Greg Kinnear and Renee Zellweger have a family, and they're not doing well as a couple. There's a couple different lines in the trailer where they're just not connecting. They don't talk anymore. They're kind of on the road to divorce. And the wife has this dream about Jimon Hansu's character, who she has a dream about this man that might bring them, that might make them closer. A stranger that needs help that might help them. And when she says that, you see a door open and there's light behind him, which means, I mean, there's kind of a savior vibe. There's kind of a definitely some faith there, a magic vibe. Either way, I'm okay with it. I love those kind of movies. So, now Greg Kinnear has had kind of a... He's got kind of a career based on... based on kind of the religion, the faith. And that's what I'm most excited to see, I think. It's he did Heaven is for Real... there's one other one. I can't recall the name of it. I should have.
Is it Little Miss Sunshine?
That's not it. But he wasn't that as well. But Greg Kinnear, this is kind of a home for him, and I'm happy to see it because he deserves. He's always been. I think Greg Kinnear is always a much better actor than people give him credit for. Not that I'm saying people think he's a bad actor. Just he. I don't think he ever gets his. You know, I don't think he ever gets.
Due.
He never gets talked about around the water cooler. and I just wish that that was a thing. So that name's gonna come to me. Heaven is for real, and I don't know. There's another religious movie that
Salvation.
No.
Or is it something like that?
No, I can't think of it, but it'll come to me. So that looks very interesting. Where's Renee Zellweger been? We're gonna find out. Thank you for your service, Miles Teller. Again, this is one more that has been brought up on this show before, but it's I want to do it again. I don't think I've seen this trailer before. Maybe I haven't. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But Miles Teller and Haley Bennett. Miles Teller is overseas and he is having it's kind of got a Hurt Locker vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
He's having a hard time adjusting to, you know, being back at home with his family as opposed to being in hostile territory where everyone is a possible mark. It looks like we've seen this before. So again, the onus is on the filmmaker to make it different than Hurt Locker, than Billy Lynn's long halftime march, than, you know, by a way lesser extent, Black Hawk Down. I mean, it's on the filmmaker to make it different, to give it a different angle to come at. So, but it comes out. It comes out in October, so this movie is asking for nominations.
I feel like it's one of those movies that it touches upon, you know, the PTSD aspect of war, and I don't know. What other films do you think have tackled that?
Well, there was that lesser known movie, and I say lesser known because I don't think it was widely released. It was Stop Loss with Ryan Philippe and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. The title Stop Loss is exactly that. In the opening act of the movie, he's getting ready to go home, and he's pulled into an office, and they tell him, you're being shipped back. He's like, no, there's a mistake. I'm getting out today. And they go, no, you've been stop lost. You're going back. No. And it's him. He runs away from that life. He's on the run, and other soldiers who are out. The direct link there is the other soldiers who are out want to be back in, and he is out, or he is going back in and doesn't want to go. And it's 100% about the PTSD for Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character who can't re-assimilate back into society. It's ultimately a tragic movie to watch because of what some of these soldiers end up doing when they get back home. I don't know how much of that is actually true. I would assume quite a bit of it is true. Again, I don't claim to know much about post PTSD. I don't. I've never a soldier, but I can assume after being in a war zone, after being shot at, after being surviving a couple of, you know, near-death experiences, it could be tough coming back. And I really hope this movie hits on that, too. So,
Very true. Very true.
That's what I'm excited about. Thor Ragnarok. One more final trailer. This movie has everyone. Chris Hemsworth, Elba, Cate Blanchett, Hiddleston is in it, Cumberbatch is in it. Hopkins, Ruffalo, Goldblum, Sam Neill, Carl Urban. I'm very excited for this movie. I'm worried about it.
You're worried?
I am. I am worried.
Why such worry?
Why such worry, Grayson? Well, Nick, I'll tell you. I'm worried because because the trailer doesn't make it seem like there's impending doom. If that makes any sense. Am I wrong about that? Do you think I'm wrong about that?
I mean, I get the feeling that not hardly anything is going to happen, but like you said, there's not going to be impending doom, but who's the, what's that lady?
Cate Blanchett, yeah.
I mean, she looks like she's going to take out a bunch of people, a bunch of Thors.
But Asgard is in trouble, I think.
Yeah, a bunch of Asgardians.
She grabs Thor as he throws his hammer at what we've seen is a very fast rate and it's very powerful. She just stops with her bare hand and crushes it. So, whoa.
Whoa.
I don't know. Not that I'm worried. I'm sure the impending doom will be there. It's just a trailer. I don't think made it look like that. So I'm really excited. I'm excited to see Idris Elba come back. After seeing him in Dark Tower, I'm excited to see him again as the gate guy, the gate watcher. I'm really excited to see Thor's one of the ones it really resonates with me as at least Thor and Thor the Dark World have really resonated with me as I really enjoy Chris Hemsworth as Thor.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, I
feel like he gives a perfect portrayal of character
of the character who I'm sure the screenwriters interviewed the real Thor. So Thor, how do we capture you? I think Hemsworth was a very big pick. It was a very good pick for Thor. So that I'm really excited about. I really hope that movie delivers. It's because we have moved into the phase two for Avengers, right?
Do you think? Phase two of the Avengers. Can I give a little bit of a prediction?
Of course, man.
I have a feeling that the obviously Doctor Strange, Thor, and you know Hulk and all of them are gonna be in this one. But do you think the Guardians are gonna make a quick appearance?
That's a question. That's a question that everyone I'm sure is on everyone's mind. That'd be cool if they did. Any way to keep the universes together as long as possible, I'm obviously for. I don't like shoehorning things in, but if they fit somewhere, if Baby Groot is in there running around, I won't have a problem with it. I mean, who doesn't love Baby Groot?
Yeah, so true.
I really think it's going to be, I really think people are going to enjoy this one. Maybe I won't enjoy it as much, but I think people will enjoy it. And I love Thor's new hair cut.
His hairdo.
Which I think comes from the trailer we saw before when he was walking out into the stadium and he has a helmet on. I think they were going for the Maximus look from Gladiator.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that crossed a lot of people's minds.
Out of all the trailers that they've made for Thor, I always get this 80s vibe from it.
Well, yeah, I think that's what you're supposed to get from it. It's You know, I don't know where they're going with that, but that looks fun. It looks interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
From what I understand, Nick, the glass castle you did not have a chance to catch.
I did not. Yes.
No worries. Was the glass castle we're just going to briefly touch on today? I really was. Glass castle is one that I went into because my brother had texted me and said you need to watch this movie. So I was of course hyped going into it. He doesn't watch many movies anymore. It is about glass castle is Brie Larson plays a girl Jeanette, and we start ahead in time when she is an adult, and she's with her boyfriend having a meal with prospective clients, and she is lying about who her family is, and you, by the way the conversation is going, you know very quick it's a lie, and we start to go back and forth in the timeline from when she was a little girl, then when she was kind of a teen. To the three timelines we hit are when she's a little girl, when she is a teen, and when she is now an adult, of how she looks back on her experience with her family, mainly her father. Now this is written by I think Jeanette Walls. I think she wrote the source of this movie is taken from. I think she did end up writing it. So this I think is probably pretty accurate as far as portrayal of characters go. Woody Harrelson plays Rex. He's the father of the family. Naomi Watts, Rosemary, is the mother of the family. And they have a couple of children. They have Jeanette, they have Brian, and they have Lori, and Maureen. Those are the four kids. Jeanette is the oldest, and... No, I'm sorry. Lori is the oldest, and Maureen is the youngest. And Rex is the father. He's very bright. He's almost too bright. He can't understand how the world works, and that he keeps moving his family to avoid bill collectors. He keeps moving his family to simple lives that don't require a lot of money, that do require a lot of imagination and a lot of know-how. Kind of a lot of like farming know-how, not like technical know-how, but like earthy know-how. And the glass castle, the title, you learn in the first few minutes, refers to a house they have every plan on building. And you quickly get the vibe that it has not been built yet. so when she's in an adult, so maybe it'll never be built. Also, the title doubles as one of those, the glass, the castle they're trying to build. Obviously something that's glass is very fragile, so it's kind of a fragile stability there that, with the family. So those are the two parallels to draw very quick.
What's that old saying? Don't throw rocks at a glass house or something like that?
Did you just make that up? I don't know. Did you? No. I think there is a saying. I don't know what the saying is, but I think there is a saying that involves rock in a glass house. But, I mean, obviously it's stupid to throw rocks at any glass item whatsoever. Not just a glass house, but anything glass. Don't throw a rock at it. Very simple. The family goes through hardships. They have very little money always. At times it's very difficult to watch, especially revolving around the character of Woody Harrelson, Rex. And I always talk about reasons to watch. There are a couple really good scenes. The movie focuses on, at least this narrative focuses on the relationship between Rex and his daughter, Jeanette, Brie Larson. And there's a moment when Rex's drinking has really become a problem. When they've found a new house, he's not getting a job, they're almost out of money, and he is an alcoholic, and it's a problem. And she looks at him and says, "You promised you'd stop drinking." And then minutes later, they have this wonderful little moment where she wakes up and Rex walks over to her bed. And it's really heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching to watch, to experience, because he says, "No matter what you hear, do not give me another drink." And we watch alcoholism, you know, watch him go through the withdrawal of not having any alcohol when he is an alcoholic. And it is painful to watch. And I'm sure it's very real. So, again, I've never had any dealings with that. So I can't say if it is or it isn't an accurate portrayal of what an alcoholic goes through as far as excising those demons. I can't imagine it's easy. I can't imagine that's an easy decision to make or even to follow up with. That's a really good moment. It's very tense. But going back to the characters, Brie Larson's Jeanette, you see her through all these different stages of life. How her past has been, or how her future, where she is now, has been so set up by her past. It's almost amazing to find out she has grown up as well and educated as she has, despite her father's trying to keep them from having a better life, as a lack of a better way to put it. I don't think this movie was really sure of what it wanted to be, though. I'm not sure. I don't want to say it was totally inconsistent. I don't think it was. I just think at times it was trying to be something contradictive to what it already had set up. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely feel that from what you're talking about. What stage was that when he was going through his alcoholism? Was that when she was a little girl?
No. She was a teen then.
Okay.
And one of the opening scenes is she ends up making hot dogs for her and her mother, and this is in the first few minutes, like the first maybe 10 minutes of the movie. I don't think this is not really a spoiler. I try to be spoiler-free as possible when discussing these, but her apron catches on fire as a little girl, as a tiny, tiny girl, maybe 8 years old, maybe even seven. And she gets pretty bad burns. She's in the hospital, and they come in the hospital looking for her, howling like dogs. That's how they find each other, is they howl like a pack of wolves. And,
oh, God.
It's very obvious that the other kids are asking to hurt themselves so they can come in the hospital and eat. It's obvious that these kids don't eat a lot. It's obvious they don't get the medical attention that they need. And so there's a tension there between Rex and the doctor right away. And then the scenes that follow are him using his kid, his son, Brian, to his red-haired son, Brian. All these kids could have been the Weasleys, by the way, in Harry Potter. They're all red-haired. Using his son to help distract all the nurses while he takes his daughter and runs for the car so he doesn't have to pay the bill. That gives you an idea of kind of how hard they have it. I know, like, hospital bill, a lot of people can't pay it, but, I mean, insurance is a thing. There's a lot of things, but that shows you a little bit of how bad they have it, that she is happy to be in the hospital because she's getting to eat food, and you know he's happy to take her out so he doesn't have to pay the bill, and it's kind of spirals into a nasty, always running from bill collectors, debt collectors. They find a home in Welch, West Virginia, my people, where you soon find out why a possibility of why Rex is not right in the head quite, but. The Glass Castle is a movie that I think people will like. Once they buy the ticket, go in there and sit down, I think they'll really enjoy it. I don't think there's, as far as trailers go, I don't think there's a lot of motivation to go in there and see it. I don't think the trailers is movie justice as far as it's kind of got a Big Fish vibe. It's got a, where she starts off very upset at her father, much like the main character in Big Fish starts out very upset about his father, and by the end, they are very upset, very remorseful. They have not spent more time in their father's life. It's one of those kind of gut checking moments for a lot. I think a lot of people will resonate with this. I can see a lot of similarities with my family, but I think people really enjoy it. It's not doing great. It wasn't in the top 10, so I don't think it's going to be in theaters much longer. But if you have a chance to watch it, absolutely watch it. It's a pretty good little movie. It's not my highest recommend, but it is up there with you will find yourself smiling and, you know, clapping at times, and other times you're gonna find yourself cringing because of what you think might turn into a sexual advance against her will scene. So I mean, it doesn't. I was very uptight when I thought that there was a possibility it might go in one direction, but it doesn't, and it's, but you'll find yourself smiling and clapping at times. So definitely check this one out. I hope at least I've convinced you, Nick, to watch it.
I'll watch anything with Woody Harrelson.
There you go, and Naomi Watts. I always like Naomi Watts. Although movies really haven't been kind to her, but I like Naomi Watts. And Brie Larson is awesome. She's good. She is every bit as good as Jennifer Lawrence. I think seeing those two in a movie would be a joy. So I'm sure we will. Not too much time longer, but the main attraction today, Annabelle Creation.
Annabelle.
Give it to me straight, Nick. Give me first thoughts.
Well, it's one of those movies where they're gonna build up the suspense and they're gonna laugh it off and they're gonna laugh at you, and then you're gonna turn around and get the shit scared out of you.
Yeah, this movie is terrifying. This movie is genuinely terrifying.
I will say I like this movie more than the original Annabelle.
I don't think many people would disagree with you. I think this is a better movie.
It definitely feels like it, obviously. But, I really enjoyed the movie. And, you know, when I walked in the theater, there was a good bit of people there. Most crowded theater I've been in a while. I started walking up them steps, and I fell. I tripped.
Did you, Nick?
It was one of the theaters in Marquee, where, you know, they have the long steps, and then they have three, you know, the three small ones right after each other. And I bit it, and I could hear people laughing, and I said, well, this is my life now. I've become the joke.
Well, you should just...
Before everyone gets scared.
I'm laughing with you, Nick. I mean, I think everyone has tripped either up or down stairs in a movie theater. I don't think anyone can say they haven't. I think it's, everyone's done at least one, because it's always dark and you're never quite sure where your footing is, and you know. So wait, did you have a drink or popcorn or anything? Like, did it go everywhere?
I had a pretzel.
So what happened to the pretzel? Did it bite the dust, Nick?
Let's just say I still ate the pretzel.
Okay? Oh, okay, fair enough. I can't blame you for that. Those pretzels are delicious.
Yeah.
With just the right amount of salt, they're pretty good. Cheese sauce. Did you get cheese?
Of course.
Yes, you have to have cheese with the pretzel. Have to. What I find interesting about Annabelle is, right off the bat, I think you're able to identify that it's almost a movie about, it's not a movie about, like, the first one. The first one was a young couple come in contact with this terrifying Annabelle doll. It's not terrifying right away, but, you know, supernatural stuff starts happening, and then they learn that it is the doll, and it is a very demonic presence behind the doll that is causing all these things, and it follows them wherever they go. It's not quite... This one at first glance isn't, but then you... This is... They are... These girls are being boarded in a house where before Anthony LaPena and... Ooh, what's her... I can't remember her name. What is her name? It's... Miranda Otto are a couple with their young girl, Bea, and they lose Bea early on. The first few minutes, they lose Bea, and then we cut to the time when these girls are driving up in a bus to be bored at this house with this old couple. They have the room, and I'm sure they could use the money for this boarding. And what is interesting is it is just people in a haunted house. That's what this movie is, and I thought that was very... It's kind of interesting that they did that, because it kind of did something different with Annabelle, at least with this franchise, not including the... Because, I mean, you can make that argument for anything in the Conjuring franchise, but the expanded universe of the Conjuring, but as far as this goes, this is a haunted house in which there are, you know, a bunch of young girls, and there are Anthony LaPena, I don't know, Anthony LaPaglia and Miranda Otto are the husband and wife, the Mullins, and the girls have an older girl that's looking after them. So, Sister Charlotte, I believe it's her name, by Stephanie Sigmund. Sister Charlotte. And so, creepy things start happening pretty quick. And what's interesting
first,
about this
first movie, night, right?
Yeah, the yeah,
well,
absolutely. Yeah, the
first
absolute
day
first,
they
yeah.
even get there.
The absolute first night. And what's I think so cool about this is, unlike most, you know, haunted movies, you know, no one believes the main. No one believes the character. No one believes the main character, be it guy or girl. No one. Everyone just thinks they're crazy. No one believes them. Everyone thinks they're nuts. Everyone starts to experience these weird things as well, and they quickly will realize that this house is not what it seems, and there is something off about it. But they can't go.
Yeah.
They can't go anywhere. They literally can't. Yeah. None of them have families. So it's
the truck.
Wait, what?
The trucks have broke down the whole movie.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so that's an interesting way to get them to stay there, is they literally have nowhere to go. I mean, it's here or it's out in the woods. So
it's crazy how far out there they're like literally in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, but it was a simple time back then.
Oh, well,
much simpler
yeah.
time. And the lead of the cast is, well, I don't know if the lead, but the girl we focus on, Janice, she has kind of a bum leg, or polio, that's what they call it, polio,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
polio.
She has polio.
Polio, and it's preventing her from being able to walk without the aid of a crutch, which makes her a prime target for demons, I guess. what I think is interesting is that they don't, in the first Conjuring, sorry, the first Annabelle, there's a scene when Mia, the wife, is kind of having like a, she's throwing this doll around the room trying to get, like, she doesn't know what to do, she's terrified, and this doll like stands up, and as the camera tracks in closely, you see these red eyes of a demon poke out from behind the doll, like, so in Annabelle creation, of course, there is still a demonic presence. I mean, it's not still, this is where the demonic presence started.
Yeah.
Is you learn how the doll became to be, you learn, I'm not going to spoil any of this, so please don't turn us off. You learn how the demonic presence becomes to be. You learn how the Mullins, what role the Mullins play in this. But generally, this is generally a terrifying movie. I think it's.
I will say there's a couple times where I was cringing and I was like on the edge of my seat waiting for it to happen. And I mean, there was a couple times obviously where they built up suspense and you could feel like something was gonna happen, then nothing did. But then right around the corner.
Yeah, of course.
You,
I mean,
you know, you jump a little bit.
Oh my goodness, there are some scares.
Like I said, I was in the theater with, this is probably this Annabelle creation was probably one of the first movies in a while where I've been in a theater with a bunch of people. And, you know, you could just hear people like, oh, no, don't go in there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a given. I found my hands over my face more than once because I knew what was coming, and I just, things jump out at me, I just don't do well with them. There's a lot of, what I thought was kind of cool, there's a lot of doors open into pitch black. So, of course,
yeah.
You're focused on, you're looking for something moving in the background, or you're looking for the red eyes that we saw from the first Annabelle. You're looking for these things because you know they have to be there. And it's that's what's so terrifying, of course, is Sue, Janice's friend, who they've made a pact where one goes, the other goes. They want to be adopted together, like sisters. And they've been separated because Janice can't sleep upstairs. She sleeps downstairs, and Sue is by herself upstairs. And, of course, the other girls, none of them will let her sleep in that room because it wouldn't work for the script, I guess. But
shitty people on their part. My God.
Yeah. She's firing this like gun ball with a string that like you fire the and then like the string is super long and goes to the ball and then you can reel it in and bring it back. And so obviously there's a scene where the camera is slowly tracking in on Sue and she's firing into the darkness and she brings it back once, she fires it again, brings it back again, and then she fires it again, and because of where the camera's set up right on the reel, you know it's gonna hit a snag, and of course you see it. You see her eyes go up and up and up as the string is going up and up and up towards the ceiling. It's like, oh my God, just what is there? Oh my God, just what is that?
Freaking out, man.
There are subtlety is, I think, one of the movie's greatest strengths.
Mm-hmm.
On a second viewing, which I have not done, but on a second viewing, which I will do this week, is you'd catch a lot more than you would on the you're gonna catch a lot more than when you're watching it the first time. You know what you're looking for, you know what the colors mean, you know what to look for in the darkness instead of just the unknown in the darkness, which was I'm looking forward to that as I'm looking forward to that.
Very true. I mean, I'm not gonna spoil anything, but the Annabelle doll is a fucked up thing, you know, like because it's. I want to say it's real, because it definitely is, but
I had to do a little research. There is an Annabelle doll. I forget where the museum. I forget it's in some state that has a museum with supposedly the original doll that had satanic presence locked away. And I kind of want to just go mess with it and touch it and say, "What are you gonna do with that doll?"
Oh no, Grayson, you don't want to.
Do I not, though, Nick?
From people, from what I've not heard. But from what I've, like, you know, looked into, you know, some people, like, you know, they'll get sick or they'll have bad experiences after they leave. What I want to do is kind of what you were saying. I do want to mess with the doll, but I just want to show the Annabelle movies to it. And, you know, like, see what it thinks.
Look what you're doing. Stop this immediately. You want to, like, wheel up a TV cart and just play the DVD right in front of it?
Yeah. See what it thinks.
Look at what you did. Look at what you did.
Do you feel good about this?
What's interesting is the original Annabelle, in the original movie Annabelle, the doll, Sue, the almost sister character to Jeanette, she looks strikingly like this doll. You know, she has the blonde bangs, she has the bowl cut, much like the Annabelle doll. That was one thing I thought was kind of cool, though, is... So now there is some basis for everything. This movie is generally scary. Is there a particular scare that got you, Nick? Or
there is one, and because I mean I'm not a very skittish person. I don't get scared easily. But the part where
no major spoilers.
Yeah. No, oh God. Yeah. Let me just start out by it was when Janice was in B's room, and B was standing by the window. After that.
Oh right. Terrifying. Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's the stuff nightmares are made of, right there. Let me tell you something. And this is what I've been asking this question for as long as I can remember. According to my father, whom he's always told me this. When I went to church for the first X number of years of my life, until I was about 12, I was drugged to church every week. And according to him, I once asked, why in horror movies does the good never work? And this is a prime example of, there are lots of crosses being held by people in this movie. There are lots of religious symbols everywhere that are supposed to help, but they never do anything. They never help.
Yeah. So
that's, I want to, what does that say about us as a society? Now, as a society being, as an expanded society, the writer of this, you know, or the filmmaker, how a character can come up against this demon holding a crucifix, and the demon just, in essence, brushing right by it, and not, it's not hindering him at all. That's what I don't get, is why are the bad forces always stronger than the good forces?
Go ahead. That's definitely the curious thing about horror movies these days. You're exactly right. You know, the evil powers do overpower the good. You know, and the way I'd like to think about it is, I mean, you got people who just, you know, they don't believe as much in it, and I mean, maybe that's why, maybe not, I don't know, or maybe it's just because it's just a human and not a priest, or not human or priest, however that works.
Well, yeah, whatever. I know what you're saying. He's not an ordained priest, right?
Yeah,
I know what you're saying.
And I mean, I guess that could be the reason why, or he's just spilling out some jibber jabber that he once heard Joel Osteen talk about.
Right.
But,
you know, I never received.
You brought up something that I don't think I've ever heard anyone discuss.
No, I never got an answer. I don't remember, but according to my dad, I never got an answer from the many pastors we had either. Is why in scary movies do crosses and things like crucifixes, why do they never work? Why don't they ever ward off the, why don't they ever keep the evil away? I never got a straight answer. So. I mean, it's just always been floating around in my head, is why every time does this crap not work when you come across a demon? I mean, there's a couple movies a year dealing with demons and people that have to deal with scary forces, and nothing that never works. That never works.
Yeah. I don't know. That's tough.
What else, Nick? What else do you like about this movie?
Oh,
You know what really got me? The scene that really got me. This isn't a major spoiler of any sort. This is actually an extension of the scene I was talking about earlier with the ball being fired down the steps and brought back on the reel, and then it wasn't, and then it was taken up on the ceiling. Like she could see the string go into the blackness, and it was going up the door frame, and of course something is right outside the door doing it. She jumps in her top bunk and puts the covers on, and then as she's putting the cover over her head, you hear something run in with a, like a little, I that was my attempt at making little footsteps, but little footsteps, and then something hops in the bunk beneath her.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Get out of that room. What are you doing? Just jump and run, girl. Jeez.
Nah, man. She's done. If she would have jumped out of that bed, she was done.
She was done.
The only thing that could save her was those covers, and thank God she covered herself.
Yeah, I can't even. Oh my goodness, that I think is that to me is the equivalent of The Ring when the girl comes out of the TV in the ending. Oh my goodness, that's enough. That is too far. And then of course Sue looks down from the crack for where. Against the wall where her bed is, against the wall, and then she sees the Annabelle, she sees the doll, and then this black hand come over and take the doll away. Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
What are you doing to get out of that? Let me ask you that. What do you do in this situation? You just freeze with paralyzed fear? What do you do?
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's so tough. In my opinion, I'd freeze. I probably would.
I like to think I would hop down and run out the room and just scream crazy, but I don't think I'd have the courage to do that. Honestly, I don't.
Yeah. The only thing that can save you is the covers, man.
The covers.
Cover yourself up and hope it's morning.
That's ooh, that one really got me. Let me tell you. And it's that works very well with one of the themes of this. Is kind of like the, you know, the belief and true faith will protect you when other things will not. So that's what I find. What I find about this movie to be fun is all. I mean, they're in a haunted house. Lighting is working against them. The one thing they do have is faith and belief. And when stuff really hits the fan, it's very important to them, I think, and it helps them. So it's hard to talk about horror movies because like everything you talk about, you're almost spoiling something. You know, someone who dies or who doesn't die or who makes that. You know, I just it's hard to talk about them without.
And I I'm not gonna spoil anything here, but the one older girl, I can't think of her, not the bitchy one, not the one who was acting like a total bitch the whole time, but her friend,
All
who
right, Carol and Linda. No. I don't. Carol and Nancy. Nancy.
Nancy, yeah. I think it was Nancy was the one who wanted to talk about what was happening, but Carol was you know, just like, no, shut up about it. You're talking crazy.
Well, because they have an experience one night, which leads them to believe that there is absolutely a haunting in this house, and it's terrifying for me to watch, terrifying for us all to watch. But that is absolutely. I'm sorry. Her, the Janice's friend is not. His name is not. It's not Sue. It's Linda. Sorry about that. It's Linda. I want to set that straight. I don't know why I'm calling it Sue. I think they call one of the dolls Sweet Sue or something. I
Oh,
think it's one of the dolls'
Sweet
names. Yeah.
Jan.
There are lots of dolls in this movie. Tons of dolls.
Oh
Tons of
my
dolls.
God, yeah.
Yeah. Well, going along those same lines, I wanted to pick a movie that went along with Annabelle because Annabelle's made quite a bit of money. I'm willing to bet most people have probably seen Annabelle Creation by now. But for the Clark Hayes submission, the Clark Hayes list of movies you should probably watch and/or be able to reference, I chose Scream from 1996, Wes Craven. A lot of people say it's one of his best. Neve Campbell, Skeet Ulrich, Matthew Lillard, Jamie Kennedy, Drew Barrymore, David Arquette are among some of the cast in this. And reasons. We always give reasons for Clark Hayes. Scream reinvented the slasher genre as it was in the late 80s, early 90s. It had kind of been saturated with all kinds of stuff, and it's just,
Flicks.
yeah, it wasn't really doing the job anymore. I mean, they weren't as scary anymore. They weren't, you know, it was all just formula. Scream comes along with Wes Craven kind of reinvents it. Now, I've heard that it kind of reinvented his career too. I don't know what kind of shape his career was in when Scream came out, but I don't know anything about that. But a lot of people say it did reinvent his career as well. That also is in my head. Number two, it spawned three successful sequels, and today, whenever you see that mask, you absolutely think of Scream immediately.
Oh, yeah.
That iconic killer mask, Ghost Face, as they called him, and Do You Want to Play a Game? You know, all those, turning all those, you know, it's an interesting way to have people interact. And the opening scene in Scream is absolutely talked about quite a bit. I remember having a horror class and we talked about the opening scene in Scream for like 2 weeks. Well, it was an hour, it was a 2 hour class once a week. So for saying 2 weeks, we talked about Scream for 4 hours. So I mean, it's not like we talk about it for 2 weeks straight. It's two classes,
Yeah.
2 hours long. So, it's the opening scene. Drew Barrymore is a young girl at home, and she gets a call, and it's a guy on the phone playing a game with her on the phone. What, you know, asking her movie questions, and everyone has seen this scene. But what it does so well is it sets up the movie. It lets you know exactly what you're getting into. That is one of the many successes of the opening scene of Scream. And I know most people have probably seen Scream. As a matter of fact, I would say,
I'd hope a lot of people have
well,
seen Scream
I
by
would
now.
imagine a lot of people have seen Scream. What I would guess that people haven't seen in a while is, what I guess is not the case is people haven't seen it in quite a while. So to watch Scream from 96 today with all the horror movies we have today, go back and watch it and compare to what your favorite ones are today and what was given the title of the reinventor of the genre. So that is Scream. You can, if you have any questions or you want to say something about horror movies, please feel free. You can tweet the show at CinemaPod. Wes Craven, if you're listening, please tweet at CinemaPod. We are, Scream is a good movie. We love it.
Right. Do you know the rules of the Scary Movie?
Oh, you're talking about the rules that you never go up, you never have sex. Right? You don't have sex. You don't run upstairs. You run out the front door. Jimmy Kennedy's character talks about them in Scream. I don't know what they are. What are they, Nick?
I believe another one is you don't say "I'll be right back."
Oh, I'll be leaving the room. I'll be right back. Yeah, you don't say "I'll be right back." You don't have sex. You don't run upstairs instead of out the front door. There are a couple other ones, but I don't remember them. But that was a good question, though, Nick. Nick, where can people text you if they have questions, or not text you? Where can people tweet you if they have questions about what you should never do in a horror movie setting?
You can tweet me at nmore1776. Just all American and whatnot.
Nick Morris, he's an all American hero, everybody. Ladies,
turn your first.
Ladies, Nick Morris is an all-American hero. If you want to know an all-American hero, tweet at him, and you will know an all-American hero. The show is at CinemaPod. I'm at Grayson Maxwell 1. I hope you enjoyed Annabelle. I'm sure you saw Annabelle. Watch Glass Castle if you haven't. I don't think it's a great movie, but it's a pretty solid movie. It'll have you laughing. It'll have you crying. All the emotions will be hit. All of them. I promise you. And thanks for listening. Above all, thanks for listening, always.